What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. Jim, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not much. Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are doing great. Good, Jim, the last time we had you on the show, there was an incident, and Rex Road totally destroyed a chair. So we are very much hoping for a better result this time.
Yeah, well, if you got him on a steel chair somewhere, you know it's not going to break.
We think so.
I just need some more reinforcements.
Yes.
Put him on a picnic table, maybe.
That's right.
Sturdy enough.
That's right. What a moment it was last time. So, Jim, obviously some really bad news for the Titans this week with Derrick Henry. We know what a blow that is to this team and to the Titans offense. I guess my question for you to start is, if you're Todd Downing and this Titans offensive staff, how do you adjust without having what's been the big weapon for you on offense, bringing in Adrian Peterson, Deontay Foreman? How different should the game plan look? How different do you think the game plan will look without number 22 in there?
Well, I do think it'll look different. I mean, I think, you know, we've been able to witness something that just has not been going on in the league and really very often in the last 10 years, you know, 20 years, where the running back is the featured guy who gets the ball 25, 30 times a game. I mean, yeah, there are some guys across the league that do that, but those guys are more few and far between now. So there won't be anybody in this group competing that's capable of doing that. So I think first you've got to identify who your best option is. And I know Tony Dews took a round of questions on this subject yesterday, and he kept saying, well, we got to see how quickly Adrian Peterson can pick things up. We got to see how Deontay Foreman adjust in his second stint. We got to see what these guys are capable of doing. All of us have seen Jeremy McNichols. We know, you know, his skill set, and it's different than Derrick Henry. So first you got to identify who your guy is and then figure out whether it's going to be more of a rotation with these guys. You know, I don't think you're going to run it as much, certainly. Some of this depends on the health of other people, like Julio Jones. If you get Julio back and A.J. Brown there, then you got an opportunity to throw the ball around a little bit more. But I think the running back position is going to evolve in time because, you know, if it's more McNichols this week and Peterson can kind of get in into better shape as he plays and get more of a feel, then I think you can see as the weeks go by, things change there too. So I think it's going to be an evolving process that is going to be interesting to watch, and certainly tough to face the Los Angeles Rams the first week you're trying to do it, because it's a team that's capable of obviously scoring a lot of points and you have to do something to keep up.
Yeah, so how important, Jim, do you view the Julio Jones path from here in terms of just finding consistent health and being on the field and being able to play full games for this team if it wants to, you know, it wants to basically adjust to this loss and be able to still, move the ball and, because I'm thinking if I'm a D coordinator, I immediately shift my focus from 22 to number 11 right now on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do. I think it's very important. You know, this is a guy that they brought in here to be a big help to you. So far, it's kind of been a frustrating process for everybody, you know, for Julio, sure, for the coaching staff, you know, the fan base. And now you really need him because, you know, I don't know that we're going to see Derrick Henry again this year. I know there's some optimism that he may return at some point, but I've kind of taken the approach that, you know, he's done for the year. And if something, you know, somewhat miraculous happens, maybe he gets back and is able to play. So you've got to have other guys capable of picking up the slack, and Julio Jones is one of those guys. So I think it's important. I mean, because I think everybody knows now how much the team needs him, and it's just a matter of whether Julio can do it. I mean, it's been a pretty perplexing deal with him because, you know, we see him during a stretch where he looks pretty good, and then he just disappears for a week, and you just don't know what's next. And I think it's important to get him back in there, have him get better as the season goes on, and I think that would help things a great deal. But who knows if that's going to happen. I'm curious to see whether he's going to be out there today.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Jim, as you know, the last couple of years we've spent a whole lot of time talking about kicker for all the wrong reasons with this group, and it kind of seems like the Titans may have found their guy in Randy Bullock. As you pointed out earlier, named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. How impressed are you by what you've seen from Randy Bullock, and have you seen enough at this point from him to think the Titans may have found their guy at the kicker position?
I think I've seen enough to think that it would be very hard to try to go back to Sam Ficken whenever he is healthy. And I thought they had potentially found their guy in Ficken. I'm just doing the off memory, but I think he was 41 out of 44 during camp. He's great on kickoffs and in the preseason. And, you know, the Friday before the opener, I was convinced that it was going to be Ficken, even though there were some people in New York who I know follow me on Twitter that were very surprised, you know, based on his exit there. So to have him get injured and to have, you know, Bullock come in week two, I thought he would be, you know, just kind of a stopgap, short-term solution. But based on what he's done so far and the confidence that maybe he's gained and the confidence the team's gained in him, you know, I don't know how you can go away from him now at this point. You know, with kickers, you know, you see him go into slumps and hope that never happens for him. If it did, then maybe that would open the door for you to make a move when Ficken's healthy. But I'm kind of the opinion, don't mess with a good thing. And right now, Bullock's been a good thing. And in my eyes, he's the kicker the rest of the way.
So, Jim, this defense has, I think, definitely improved. You definitely did see, I guess, a difference in playing the Kansas City offensive line versus the Indy offensive line when it comes to pass rush. But the Titans still got some, you know, some pressure and some and key moments, obviously, including to get the what looked like it might be the game-winning touchdown. Where do you see this defense going from here? Obviously, everything has to get better, as the Titans have been saying this week with Derrick Henry out. But Christian Fulton comes back. Maybe Jayon Brown becomes a little bit more of a factor. Bud Dupree keeps getting healthier. How good could this defense be, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely room for improvement. You know, not only some of the guys you mentioned, but the fact that, you know, that Pierre Tart, one of their starters, didn't play this week. He expect him back short term, or Rashad Evans. Yeah, sure, he's kind of been up and down, but I thought he had played his two best games before getting hurt and missing this game against the Colts. I mean, you start getting other guys back, and you mentioned Jayon. So if you get Jayon back in the fold, and Rashawn and Pierre Tart, Christian Fulton, I mean, those are all guys that are going to help you. You know, some as starters, some as situational type guys. I think Bud Dupree's just getting better every week that he plays. you know, a guy like Elijah Molden, who hasn't played a lot of football, but the more he plays, he's going to get better. I think there's reason for optimism there. And then, you know, they've played some pretty good offenses here, you know, in the first half of the season that things potentially will ease up, I mean, in the second half of the season. So I think this group has a chance to get better, gain some confidence, and everybody's going to really have to do it because, you know, with Henry gone, it's going to take, we talked about the receivers, I think the offensive line, the defense, you know, obviously Caney Hill, you know, you're going to need everybody to be at the top of their game because you don't have a guy like Henry to bail you out all weeks when things aren't going great.
What is your view on Kevin Byard this year, Jim? Obviously, he's having a tremendous year. I mean, I think to me, he's easily a Pro Bowler based on how he's played and the plays he's made. And last year, I mean, so much went wrong with this defense. Is he, in your view, a markedly different player from last year to this year, or is it, you know, that like you can only do so much if things are dysfunctional around you when you look at last year to this year with him?
Yeah, I think he is significantly better, you know, and I give him a lot of credit just because he kind of put a lot of on himself at the end of last year about how he felt like he let the team down and his teammates down and didn't feel like he was playing very well, and you know, he committed to working harder and being better. You know, thing is, I think he probably always just worked hard and because of the type of guy he is. So I don't know what he did different this year, but you know, he's put himself in position to make more plays. He's made more plays. You know, sure, there are some lapses he has, like missed a think of tackle right out of the gate early on Sunday, and he had a bad pass interference penalty downfield. You know, there's still some things to clean up, but you know, time and again, when this team's needed big plays, look who's making them. And, you know, a guy who did that early in his career seems to be back. So some of it probably has to do with the people being better around him, but there's no question that he's better. And when he's better, that whole defense is better.
Jim, we made it through the interview. Joe Rexroth still standing strong over here, so mission accomplished. Well done. Appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Okay, you guys have a great week. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, right, you as well. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com.
So it wasn't his fault.
Guess not.
No, I think we already determined it was Chase, right?
Chase's
we play,
fault.
Blaming Chase.
Yes. Yeah.
Since he's in the afterglow of the Braves.
Yes.
Say thanks a lot for leaving that chair in the
just totally disintegrating.
Yeah.
You know, I've still got that audio saved on my phone. One of my favorite things to do when I'm bored. Just crash.
Joe, I'm so surprised you didn't, like, sweat. You kept yourself composed.
Well, I think he's in shock.
Well, honestly, the video would be hilarious if there was video. You know, video of that would be something else. I'm not sad that it doesn't exist, but it would be funny. Yeah. I mean, it'd be funny.
Yeah. It would.
Are we sure there's no surveillance camera?
Not sure. I need to check.
We might need
I'm going to call
Pete and Terry's Tavern.
Yeah. We need to get looking at that.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. That was Stephen A. Smith and Marcus Spears on First Take on ESPN discussing the loss of Derrick Henry for the Titans and whether or not Adrian Peterson can, I believe the question was, save their season. Now, Joe Rexroth, I don't know that anybody's expecting Adrian Peterson to come in here and save the season, quote unquote, and give you the same amount of production as Derrick Henry. I mean, if you're expecting that, good luck, because Adrian Peterson's not coming in and giving you the same amount of production as Derrick Henry has. The question that I think is more interesting and that Marcus Spears basically asked there is, can you get enough from Adrian Peterson and Jeremy McNichols and Deontay Foreman to at least be a threat running the football to where you can still operate your offense the way that Todd Downing and this group wants to operate your offense? What you don't want to have happen is Adrian Peterson has nothing left in the tank. Jeremy McNichols, while he's been a nice option on third down in the passing game, not much in the running game, and Deontay Foreman doesn't work out. And then you just can't run the ball. Like, you don't want to become one-dimensional on offense. So
I don't view it as trying to come in and replace the production that Derrick Henry gave you, because quite frankly, I think that conversation is a gigantic waste of time. But can you run the football effectively enough to not have to just totally change your offense, would be my question.
Right. I mean, or do you become, well, like two teams that you just beat, the Bills and Chiefs, who, you know, throw a little run in here and there, you know, just to show it.
Yeah.
But they're leaning on their QBs and their receivers to do most of the work. The Titans don't want to become that. So, yeah, it's not about saving the season. I mean, again, I think it's just there's this huge area of I think outcome, of likely outcome, that is you're not going to be in there for the one, but you're also not going to be threatened in the AFC South. That's the most likely thing. So it really is like win the 3-4 games you need to win to win the division. And then, I mean, I think at some point you may be like, you really may be just sort of treading water and trying to keep people healthy. And like you could be playing potentially three games at the end of the year that don't mean anything. That's actually very possible.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at the way the schedule breaks down. So now, if the Titans go win Sunday, you know, I mean, I guess it's like, shoot, why not? You know, why not dream big and think about the one? And even if they lose Sunday, it's not off the table. But, I mean, like the margin for error, I think, is going to be very small, because I look at Buffalo's schedule and I think that they're going to be like 14-3. Maybe 13-4, but you know, if they're 13-4 and you can get there too, then okay, you beat them because you beat them head-to-head.
Right.
But more likely, that's going to fade. But also, I don't think the Colts are really going to reemerge. So it's not even saving the season. It's just get through the season. And yes, in the meantime, see if you can find decent running game. Yeah, find enough to keep teams honest. But, I mean, you are you're changing your offense. Like, you may be, you know, you may be running. You want balance. You may be running a lot of this. You know, you're going to run outside zone. You run inside zone. You run gap stuff every once in a while. And you're going to run the ball, but you're changing it. I mean, you have to I think you have to do more straight dropback stuff, and I think you have to get the tight ends more involved. So change it in terms of what personnel you're emphasizing, what matchups you're emphasizing. There's no way around that. I just, you know, what we don't know is just either of those guys, because I'm looking at McNichols. I just think McNichols is going to stay in his role. But either of those guys, Peterson or Foreman or both, can they be any kind of threat? Can they give you any kind of explosive runs and actually make defenses respect your running game?
Yeah, that's a big question. What did you think of what Jim Wyatt had to say about, you know, obviously you talked about it earlier in the show, of anybody, you know, with a timeline at this point for Derrick Henry is basically just guesswork. What did you think of what Jim had to say there of, you know, basically the way he's approaching it is assuming Derrick Henry's out for the season, and if by some miracle he gets back in there, that's great. But if you're the Titans, maybe approaching it as if he's going to be out the rest of the year.
Yeah, that was kind of a pessimistic, you know, take from Jim. Again, I think you just have to keep an open mind on it. I mean, unless there's, you know, someone, in, you know, unless Amy Adams Strunk is like, we are not going to mess with this guy. You know, I don't care what happens. He's going to have the whole offseason and, you know, I would be willing to bet. I haven't talked to him yet, but I'd be willing to bet that Derrick Henry, in his mind, is doing all he can do to try to be there for the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
It's really interesting because, I mean, I'm sure the bone's going to heal, and it's probably going to heal in about 6 weeks. And so, like, the x-rays and all that stuff will look fine. Pain tolerance, of course, the patient has to tell you if they're feeling pain. Right, but that has to be gone based on, again, talking to the doctor I talked to. I mean, I'm not trying to be Twitter doctor right now. And then, can he do everything? Does he have mobility? Because this is psychological too, and that's a point Dr. Jung brought up, is that if you're not doing everything exactly as you did before, then something else gets hurt. And I think you think about those things more with knee injuries, right? Like, you know, you're favoring the knee. I mean, even with like Bud Dupree, we saw it maybe this year a little bit where, you know, you're thinking about it. And how could you not? I don't know if that affects you as much you know, with something like this. But if you aren't doing everything exactly as you did it before, that means that you're overcompensating in some way and you're possibly hurting yourself somewhere else. So, like, there's a lot of stuff. The functionality of the whole foot, beyond the pain and beyond the bone healing, has to be great. But we don't know how any of that stuff's going to turn out. Might turn out amazingly well in 7 weeks. And Derrick Henry's like, just let me go out and run for like 250 on Houston, you know, in the finale. You know,
just test it out a little
bit. Get a little warm up going. But in all seriousness, I don't think there's any chance before the postseason that we would see him. But I don't know. I don't know how you could really have a strong feeling either way right now before we see how he heals.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get to the defensive side of the ball for the Titans coming up next. What have we learned about this group so far? And based on something Jim Wyatt said, how much room do we think there is for improvement on the defensive side of the ball? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game Sunday, you win a Nashville SC prize pack. Participate Friday morning at 9:45 a.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, you brought up the defense with Jim Wyatt earlier this hour, and certainly improved from this time a year ago. The third down defense has been much better. The pressure on the quarterback has been much better so far this year for the Titans defense. And to Jim's point, they've played some pretty good offenses along the way so far. When you think about the Cardinals, when you think about Seattle with Russell Wilson at quarterback as well, the Colts, as we know, can throw it, they can run it, they can do a lot of things with it. The Bills, the Chiefs, all these things that the Titans have had to go up against in terms of their defense, it is going to soften up in terms of the schedule as the Titans move forward here. That is not the case on Sunday when they'll be taking on Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams. But overall, what have you made of the defensive performance? And I guess as you look at the team defensively based on the schedule and based on maybe some guys getting healthier and getting into a groove, how much better do you think this defense can continue to be as the season unfolds?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge part of this team comfortably winning the division, taking care of business. I mean, think about this defense, to your point there, about some of the teams they've played. And granted, like for example, when they played Jacksonville, that was a very disappointing performance. Even though they won that game, that was one of those that didn't give you a lot of confidence. The second half against the Jets, very disappointing to let that team not just have a couple big explosive plays on you, but also just, I mean, you let them move the ball and convert on third down and kind of control the fourth quarter and overtime. So there's been some bad, but I think we've seen a little bit of turning the corner here. Obviously, you have a goal line standing against Buffalo. You got some big red zone stops there, and then the best defensive performance in a long time against the Chiefs, except, you know, the Chiefs are a mess. You have to keep that in mind. The Chiefs are a mess. I mean, the freaking Giants almost beat them and totally limited their offense Monday night. So I do have to look at that one and say, how much does that really mean? But I think if you get Christian Fulton back, now that you have Imani Hooker back, you have Bud Dupree, as Jim Wyatt mentioned, looking stronger and stronger. You have David Long running around and making plays. I think as long as your corner group can be, you know, like I think Janoris Jenkins playing a little bit better, Molden starting to come on. I mean, as long as that part of your defense is sound and solid, and we don't know when Fulton's coming back, by the way, it's important to mention, but if you get that to where it's fine, then I think this defense is capable of going into the postseason and having a good game and giving you a chance to win. And I think it might have some dominant performances against some of these bad teams ahead on the schedule, like the Dolphins, I mean, the Texans. Those are stat padding days, maybe, for, you know, like a Harold Landry as he loads up the sacks. 8.5 already.
Maybe he gets to 20.
That's a heck of a number. That's a big ask.
That's a heck of a number.
I mean, Davis Mills, you tell me that Davis Mills couldn't give you like 4 or 5 on a given day, maybe? You know,
Davis Mills will see him coming.
That's true. That is true.
Harold Landry's not going to be sneaking up on Davis Mills out there, man.
Well, I mean, I don't know if the long neck means like the blind side is helped. Like, does that help peripherally?
You twist that thing, man.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, certainly, there's no way. Like Elijah Molden, remember he went under those two blockers. Yeah. Like, there's no way you're going to trick him with that. No,
you'll see it coming a mile away.
Go gadget, Davis.
It's funny though. You look at like the traditional stats for the Titans defense. You know, they're 8th against the run in the league in terms of yards per game, 24th against the pass, giving up 267.4 yards per game defensively. I just think, you know, they've made some big stops in the red zone, forcing field goals instead of touchdowns. You know, obviously Kevin Byard continues to just force turnovers on a game-in, game-out basis at this point. So they're being opportunistic. But the big thing is really just the third down. I mean, third down was such a disaster last year, and they've been significantly better at just getting off the field on third down and not having these drives out there that look a lot like the Colts drive did on Sunday to begin the game, where it's 14, 15 plays, and by the time the end of the game rolls around, you're just exhausted because you can't get off the field. We've not seen a ton of that this year from the Titans defense, which – I think that plays a lot into some of the improvements that we've seen.
Well, it's mostly about pass rush.
Yeah.
Yes, Christian Fulton has been very good when he was out there. I mean, he's a nice looking young corner who I think could be a good player for this team for a while. And Kevin Byard making plays, but affecting quarterbacks. It's just such a struggle last year, and it's Danico Autry that you know that. Sorry, I meant to mute myself. That was a non-mute.
It's okay. You tried.
It's all good.
There you go.
There you go. That's what I usually do instead. Here, let me just cough into this mic as loudly as I can. You know, that quartet of pass rushers is at times awfully effective. Now, Autry and Simmons both a little bit banged up Sunday, and, you know, Tart didn't play, but.
I mean, Autry's making a big play at the end of the game, though. I mean, on the interception where Molden gets it, Autry's cutting off the screen there. I mean, he's just been rock solid, really, from start to finish so far this year.
And Dupree on that play.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it's starting to look like he's, you know, really starting to find his footing. And, man, with the way Landry is playing, that's I don't know that we're ever going to see this be a great defense or even necessarily a very good defense, but a defense that could win you a playoff game, could give you a chance against one of these better teams in the AFC, I think it's possible.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Henry texting in, I believe the defense is doing very much better than last year especially, but I would really like to see the secondary not commit as many penalties. Was a big point of emphasis on Sunday. Lots of penalties.
I mean, granted, that is the Colts' primary offensive strategy.
It is.
Yeah, you got 83 yards on two plays right there. But, yeah, it's – I don't know. Has that been a big problem all year?
No.
Not that I – you know. It's tough. You know, you throw up those underthrown – and you get behind somebody. That's what, you know, you can't let them get behind you. They've done a much better job of not getting up the big play lately as compared to early in the year. That's a big thing.
You're going to love this question. Mike from Clarksville texting in. I've always been a fan of Jim Schwartz since his days as defensive coordinator here in the early 2000s and have followed him everywhere he's gone. He's always had a pretty good defense everywhere he's been, and we've seen a huge difference in our defense this past few weeks. So my question is, is the change of players we have on that side of the ball, or is it Jim Schwartz having a larger role in the overall scheme than we are led to believe? This comes from Mike in Clarksville.
Actually, I think Jim Schwartz is really the de facto head coach. And, in fact, I have a suspicion that John Robinson was going to make a huge trade yesterday, and then Jim Schwartz was like, John, hold on, buddy. Hold on a minute.
There's a lot of love for Jim Schwartz out there the last few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice pickup to have Jim Schwartz. First of all, Jim Schwartz is a very good D coordinator in the league.
He is.
I thought he was actually I don't think he was a bad head coach of the Lions. He's a good coach, and if he wants to be a D coordinator, maybe a head coach again in this league, he can be. But again, you know, this is a players' league, and I'm looking at Bud Dupree. I'm looking at Harold Landry. I'm looking at Christian Fulton, Kevin Byard, David Long. I'm not looking at Jim Schwartz on any of those storylines.
What about the wide nine technique?
Yeah, that he likes that, and that certainly was employed against the Chiefs without question. So, do I think Jim Schwartz has contributed? I'm sure he has. I mean, why would you bring him in if you weren't going to tap into his knowledge and stuff? I know that outside the building when on the practice field, he looks like a guy who's a consultant. He's not out there actively. His voice is not a constant thing like Shane Bowens is or Mike Vrabel's is. But again, if all of a sudden you're going to credit Jim Schwartz for these things, then was he doing a crappy job in the weeks where they were bad on D? It's only praise. It's only like the good stuff must be him, but the bad stuff would be someone
maybe
else.
After the Jacksonville game, they said, you know what, Jim? Time for you to get your hands more on this defense.
Maybe.
Have you asked possible? Vrabel? Maybe. he'd be really open?
Vrabel.
He was asked about Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, and he said he had sort of a reference to like, you know, what some people like to think it is. Or he had a quote like that. Essentially, like, there's the narratives that everybody knew would come with this.
Yeah.
That isn't the case. But he praised him for being a resource for Shane Bowen. That's what he is.
Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday on 102.5 The Game is the Minnesota Vikings at the Baltimore Ravens with a noon kickoff. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com /deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The new deal this week is a $30 gift card for only $15 to 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com /deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Joe Rexroad, under attack from Michelle Knezovic and Ryan Porth, who apparently Ryan Porth doesn't even know what corned beef hash is. What's going on here, man? What's happening?
I'm trying to understand his life.
No movies. No food.
See, in my defense, I have heard of corned beef hash, but I don't know what it looks like and or tastes like.
There's the Cincinnati Reds, and that's about it for Porth.
Like corned beef hash, like a big plate of it with, to me, like an over-easy couple of eggs, and then you get the egg yolk mixed in. You ever do that?
Yeah, I've done that.
Then you get a piece of toast, and you put it all on top of the toast. Yeah. But regardless of how you consume it, you have to consume it.
Apparently
like,
not.
Is there anyone in the world who doesn't love corned beef hash who's had it? Like, do you know of anybody who's had it and be like, oh, yeah, no thanks?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that don't like it because people don't like – I know people don't like pizza, so.
Yeah. Now, that's insane.
Yeah. So.
Right. I mean, you'll find the random, sure, stray
but to your
there,
larger point, it's pretty universal.
You're immediately addicted to it.
Well, it's like the same thing with biscuits and gravy. Like, Porth doesn't like gravy?
Like, biscuits and gravy I love. But I could see that being a little bit more polarizing, you know. Like
no, I can't.
I love it, but like the intense like sausage, and some people don't like the creamy gravy. Like for example, Adam Sparks, right? Yeah. He won't touch that stuff because he won't eat anything white and creamy. Now he's a little bit weird, but still.
If I could have hand selected somebody that I thought would love biscuits and gravy, Adam Sparks would be near the top of that list.
White and creamy, sour cream. Okay, so some people have their quirks. Corned beef hash, you got to be universally loved, right? And like you need that in your life.
He doesn't even know what he's
corned beef hash in your life.
So should I get some after the show?
I mean, yes, and I might actually bring a huge vat of it in
tomorrow
soon and make you guys eat it.
Joey from Gallatin texting in. My Irish roots are screaming right now. This is for Michelle. He's got pictures sent in as well of some corned beef hash.
The thing is, I'm Irish. I'm half Irish too. So
me too.
Who
but
knew?
I Oops. Don't care what your I don't care what your origins are. You should love corned beef hash.
Yes.
Okay.
Very passionate day. Now Rexroad's muting himself over there.
But I'll unmute myself when I hack up a lung into the microphone. I will eat corned beef hash into this microphone, and you have to hear every smack.
I'm cool with it.
Oh, I am not.
Keith from Bowling Green texting in. What's up with Jayon Brown? What is up with Jayon Brown?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys to be looking for on the practice field today. It's going to be a very interesting day out there, and he's definitely one of them. Well, he was out there last week, so the typical timeline has been you have that return to practice, and then it's the next week that you may be activated. So I think that's possible. Now, the question is, if you have Rashawn Evans back, and, of course, remember, he was late add to the – he had an ankle. He must have hurt his ankle on Friday's practice. But if you have him, you have Jayon Brown. We know David Long is going to be out there. What are you doing? What are you doing? Who are your two guys? I think it's still probably Evans and Long.
Yeah.
But I think eventually, and especially in some games, it could make sense. I'd be interested to see what Long and Brown look like together.
Yeah,
if
I would
Brown
be too.
Can actually get healthy, guy who also has had a tough time with that.
Kenston texting in: which DB has the better game Sunday, Byard or Ramsey? Whoever does could mean a win for their respective team. Kenston also saying also PFF has Quisenberry as their midseason first team All Pro right tackle. So congratulations to David Quisenberry.
I mean, I'm assuming John Glennon has had a tweet storm about this
probably so.
Related to the Pro Football Focus ratings. Quisenberry has been it's been a nice development for this team. You know, here and there, he's had struggles with a really good pass rusher, but he's been good. PFF All Pro, like top five lineman in the league. Okay, I don't know. I'd like to compare. This is where
get in there and prove to me that he's not Rex Road.
Well, I can't, but this is where I would love to get my hands on Keith Carter's files, and see if he grades out. Like, is Quisenberry just way beyond everybody else in the offensive line? I don't know. Maybe he is.
But by the way,
congratulations.
Best PFF grade for the Titans on Sunday, Taylor Lewan. I think he was like a 90.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was really good. He looked to me exactly like there's so many things that happened that game and obviously since that game, but there's something that's worth taking forward. Taylor Lewan looked like Taylor Lewan.
Did it look like it was beneficial that maybe the Titans had him out there on Sunday on the field? Maybe it was a plus for the team?
Well, I mean, they overcame having him out there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they overcame that.
I was hoping they'd be able to. I think we'll get any more of those texts. Pretty good day from Taylor Lewan on Sunday.
Sadly, I think we will.
Forget that guy!
Yeah. Yeah, I think we will somehow, but yeah.
Well, you just brought it up, so I'm sure we will now.
Yeah, exactly. There is someone right now who is furiously tapping away.
Yes,
I hope
typing
not,
in.
I hope while not driving, but yeah. No, he was good, and to Kenson's point on the DBs, that's an interesting way of looking at it. This is definitely one of those games that, first of all, I think what you see a lot of teams is, okay, if Jalen Ramsey is going to follow A.J. Brown around a lot, Do you not throw to him as much? Probably. But I think also you go ahead and let him use his physicality and you have to challenge him some. But I think I agree, like on Byard. Byard's one of those equalizers. Like, can he bait Stafford into a mistake or two? Stafford will still make he'll make a mistake. He'll force something in at times.
He's going to target Cooper Kupp like probably 15 times because that's what's happened pretty much every game so far.
Except for like the one game when they go to Seattle.
Yeah.
Which is a rare fantasy win for me because he threw to Robert Woods like 27 times. But, yeah, for the most part, Cooper Kupp has been ridiculous. That's a very good team.
Some breaking news on the NFL front that will affect the Titans in a couple of weeks when they take on the Saints. Michael Thomas going to be out for the year. So Michael Thomas, I don't think it's a huge surprise. Some people wondering, would he be able to come back in the second half of the season? Michael Thomas has released a statement on Twitter basically saying, he's been rehabbing through the injury. And unfortunately, there has been another setback, which we'll have to address. And it says, quote, "To my displeasure, I will not be able to make it back in time for the season, but will do everything in my power to get back to the player I have always been." This is coming from Michael Thomas. So no Jameis Winston the Titans will have to deal with for the Saints. No Michael Thomas as well. So Trevor Siemian, Alvin Kamara, maybe Taysom Hill. What do you think of that?
Marquez Callaway.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, I don't know how they've done what they've done. So I'm going to – I have to admit, I have not watched a ton of Saints football this year. It just hasn't worked out that way.
The time I watched their whole game, they look like the best team in the history of the league.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it looks like a – that works. Looks like some good timing for the Titans, but who knows? I mean, Sean Payton
– pretty good coach.
Say what you will about Sean Payton. The dude figures things out.
Yeah. Jim on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 55 years old, born and raised here, which is rare. I don't think I've ever seen corned beef hash ever. Heard of it, never had it.
Thank you.
Now, don't celebrate. Don't celebrate people who. No, that's. No. This is something that needs to be changed in society, okay? We're going to make the world a better
place.
Tell
him, Rex Road.
I'm going to have a corned beef hash stand. It's free. Just give it out for free.
With sides of banana pudding.
Right, Rex Road chefing it up.
I tell you what, if I had to eat banana pudding in order to eat corned beef hash, I'd gobble up the banana pudding.
Now all of a sudden we've gone from if Rex Road had to eat banana pudding, like he doesn't actually like it. I think your original argument was it's not the best dessert. Now you're acting like you hate it.
I would never order it. I've never had it where I thought it was good. I'm sorry. You've been talking about bringing in this amazing banana pudding. You never do. I'll bring in corned beef hash tomorrow.
And I'll think of something to bring in for you all. But I feel like you've tried a lot of things.
Let's have a potluck of shame.
While doing a radio show, eating.
At
go
6
well.
a.m.
Into the microphone.
That's right. When we come back, it's time to go inside the locker room, catching up with Philip Tomasino of the Nashville Predators. We'll do that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.